and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode. Today, I kind of want to talk about something that is really a recurring theme in my life, and it's the importance of growing up. And it's funny that it's a recurring theme in my life, but it's also kind of like a value that we champion at the online campus, that everything that we do, everything that we create is meant with your growth in mind, that you may grow in your relationship with Christ. Hopefully, your growth chart is continual in life. Maybe your height chart has stopped, right? Hopefully the weight chart doesn't continue that much, but hopefully your growth chart, spiritually speaking, is continual. The Word of God says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God expects this from our life, that we might continually grow, that hopefully you are growing. I remember we do missions with my wife a lot, and I remember at the beginning we were praying to God, and we hadn't done missions yet, and we asked God, God, open up the doors, like open up the doors in all the earth, we will go, just point the way, and we are there. But doors were not opening, and the only thing that God told us to do was this, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow. It's like, you want to go, okay, but first, grow. You want to go? Okay, that's fine. But first, you need to grow. And so I didn't understand this, but we started then like reading more, our Bible, studying more. We started to pray more, pursuing His presence a lot more. And I remember we were living in Dallas at that time, and we hadn't done one missions trip yet. And we were there, we were praying. I had Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir singing there, just a song that I really like, and just praying. And then all of a sudden, the presence of God fell into our apartment, a little tiny apartment there in Dallas. And I felt the presence of God. And when the presence of God falls, usually I cry. I'm like a big weeper. I don't know about you, but automatically I weep. And so I'm there and I'm crying, and my wife is there too, and we're just praying. And then I feel God tell me, I'm with you. Don't ever forget that. I'm with you. I'm like, I know, Father, thank you. I'm crying. That's why you're here. But I didn't see much to it. But I noticed that there was more purity in our relationship, and we continued to grow into that. And then finally, the door opened. We got to go into Venezuela, and it was at the time in Venezuela where it's kind of hard to get in, especially as an American citizen. So I didn't go in as an American. I went in with my Colombian passport. But we were living in Dallas, and so we flew to Panama, and then from Panama we went in. It was me and our photographer guy to document what was happening in Venezuela. But they told me, the embassy even called us and told us, listen, do not go. Like, as an American citizen, do not go. And whatever you do, do not take your American passport with you. So if they find out, you know, they could keep you there. And it's happened before. There's precedent for this where they'll keep you there. And then, they want to, trade with America, with other people and stuff. The whole thing. And so I'm like, that's fine. I got this covered. And so I thought about it. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just go to Panama first and then find someone to hold my American passport, and then I'll go in with my Colombian passport and then leave, and it'll be fine. But it didn't happen, so I had to hide it. I had to hide it in my backpack, and so I found the zipper within the zipper, and I put my American passport in, and I prayed over it. I'm like, they will not see it, and then they just pray, amen. And we went, we did the whole thing, and then the day came where we had to leave Venezuela. There was four security checkpoints before we could board the plane.
And obviously, I don't look very Colombian. I don't look very American. I don't know what I look like, but whatever I look like, they stopped me, and then they took me to an interrogation room. And they're like, "Where are you from?" I'm like, "I'm very Colombian." You know, I put the accent and everything. I'm very Colombian, man. Like, what do you expect me to do, man? And so they interrogate us, and we thought about this, and so we actually do this wherever we go, where we take a day and we hide our memory cards where we've documented the different churches, ministries, and everything like that, and we take a day where we just do tourism stuff and like shoot, you know, take pictures, so that if they do interrogate us, we'll just show them those pictures. Which was funny because it was two guys on the beach like taking pictures all the time, to the point where they thought something that wasn't true. And so I'm like, I'm just going to show them my passport. I prefer they know I'm American than whatever they're thinking. But I didn't. I'm there looking at them, and they're interrogating me. I passed the first checkpoint. I'm like, fine. They interrogate me again. They take me to another room. There's this guy. He starts opening up all the zippers from the backpack and then turning it around and going like this. But the passport didn't fall. So I'm like, oh, great. And then the third checkpoint, there was this lady, and she was very thorough. It's always the women, right? It's always like excessively thorough. Like I would see, and like she'd check, and like she'd feel around. And I'm like, why do you want to be so thorough right now? And she found it. She goes like this, and the passport falls, and like the whole room tenses up. And I'm there, and I'm like, well, would you look at that? How did that happen? The Lord works in mysterious ways. And so they grabbed it, and they're like, oh, you have to wait here now. And then they left. And so then they're calling. We're at this city called Valencia, and then like the main hub in Venezuela is called Caracas. That's their capital city. So they're calling Caracas to find out what they're going to do with me. And in the middle of it all, I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, I feel the same presence of God I felt in Dallas, in the room, just filled the room, and told me the same thing. I'm here with you. So I'm like, thank you, Father. Can you take me out of here? Like, thank you for being here with me, but I would prefer for both of us to not be here. And so I start praying, and so then they take me into this room. The whole flight is waiting for me at this point, and they don't allow the flight to leave because they want to settle this first. So I'm praying, but what's interesting was that at that moment, I felt peace. And I knew it came from all those times that we were preparing, that we were growing, that it just doesn't all of a sudden happen. There is a result to a process. And a lot of us are living results from processes we might not like that we have done, but it just so happens that's the result of life. Your present is just a result of past decisions you've made. So at that point, we're at peace. I'm praying. I'm praying very hard. At that moment, I'm praying in tongues. I don't care. You know, this is like very important for me. And so they look at me, and they actually left. And then this other lady came in, and she told me, just pack your stuff right now. We're leaving. So I'm like, okay. So I pack my stuff, and then she walks me through. We skip the next checkpoint, and then she just takes me up into the airplane. So I sit down. I can't believe what just happened. I sit down, and so I want the door to close. Like, that's all I want. Like, I'm like, we are so close. Like, it's close the door. Like, I'm in faith. I have no fear, but it would help me if the door closes. Have you ever had like faith, but you also have a little bit of fear? Like, just that. And so I'm there. I'm like, just close the door. And then I remember, oh, they have my passport. So I can't go into the States without my passport. So it'd be worse. And so I stand up again, and I go up to the flight stewardess, and I'm like, excuse me, can you ask for my passport? Like, I mean, I don't want to be picky here. I'm thankful for the miracle, but can we complete this miracle with my passport? And so she looks at me, and she's like, do you really want me to call them? Like, the whole security people just left. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of do, because, I mean, I need my passport. So she calls them, and then two armed guards come in with the radio and with the passport. And then they're checking, and they're like, yeah, seat 27F. Yeah, he's here. Yeah, what do you want us to do? Like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Like, I plead the blood over you. You know, like, I've seen Star Wars. This is not the American you have seen. Like, it's a... And they gave me the passport, and then I hear over the radio, nah, just leaving them. It's not worth it. And then they walk out. They close the door. We start through the runway, and then all of a sudden, like, we're in the air, and then all of a sudden, I get, like, this nervous laughter, like, oh, my gosh, we almost died. I never doubted, though. Never doubted, ever. But what happens? You know, sometimes there are things that God has prepared for us that we haven't walked into because we need to grow up first. There are things that God has in store for you that he is willing to give to you. You're just not big enough in order to take care of it, to steward it, to partake of whatever he has prepared. And the word of God says there's a story in Exodus 23, verses 27 to 30, it says, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. It's so amazing to me, this story where they walk into the promised land and they're ready. And there's giants in the promised land. And that's probably one of the reasons why God wants you to grow up. It's not just so that you can partake of the promised land. It's also so that you can take care of the people that are in the promised land. So he's saying, it's not that I don't want you to go in. It's not that I have stopped my blessing from flowing to your life. It's that I need you to grow up. Because the table that God has prepared for us has no booster seats. Like the table that he has prepared for us requires a certain stature, certain knowledge of Christ, a certain revelation, people that are led by the Spirit. You know, why? Because once you go in with the same spirituality of 10 years ago, you will not face those giants and win. You know, they say, there's a saying that says, new levels, new devils, right? And it sounds cool, but it's really not biblical. It's really new levels, same devils. And if you haven't treated with those problems, if you haven't corrected certain lifestyles, you're still going to meet those same things in the next stage of your life. And we've been preaching, you know, Sunday after Sunday, this is the year of the open door. This is the year of the new season. This is the year where God will move on behalf of his people. How many of you believe it today? But in order for that to be real, we have to be prepared. Are you prepared for what God has prepared for you? Are you ready to steward something bigger? Are you ready to partake of something that you haven't even imagined? Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or all you could think according to his power. So it's ready. It's prepared. The question is, are you? Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time to grow up. Amos 9:13 says, the time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. It says, the time will come where the blessing of God will be so abundant in your life that you don't even know if it's seed time or harvest time. It's all just happening all at the same time. There's an overabundance. So the question is never, you know, is God ready? The question usually is, are you? I've told this story before. I fought with my dad when I was years ago because I told him, Dad, you have a car. You have the ability to give it to me. You have the desire to give it to me. Why don't you give me the car? And he's like, well, John, because you're 7. That's usually our fight with God is, God, why don't you snap your fingers? Has anyone ever prayed that before? God, snap your fingers. He's like, I'll snap my fingers when you snap out of it. Right? Like, I'll snap my fingers. When you grow and you show maturity, it's not, God is never the problem here. He's not retaining your blessing. But you kind of have to exit your past season and grow up and grow into your new season in order to participate from what he has prepared. See, at this moment, Israel, they're in Exodus. They're exiting Egypt. They are leaving something behind, their past behind, and walking into something new. Now, a lot of us usually don't participate in what is new because we are trying to conquer something that you are meant to leave. See, Israel never conquered Egypt. They were meant to leave it behind. And a lot of us are trying to battle with things in the past, wounds from the past, transgressions from the past, and mistakes from the past. And God is telling you, no, you don't have to battle through that. You just have to leave it behind. You are a new you. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Believe it and walk away from that. Walk away from those habits. Walk away from those people. Some people will have you convinced that in order to be close, you still have to be low. And all you have to say is, no, I am walking into a new season. And if that means separation, well, so be it. But I am walking into everything God has for me. And if this causes some separation, if this causes me to leave you behind, so long, but I am going into a new season. I am walking into a new era of my life where the blessing of God is so abundant. I don't even know if it's seed time or harvest time, but to God be the glory. If I am screaming a lot, I've noticed I've screamed a lot, I ask for forgiveness. But I've been in Latin America for a while now, so it's like it sticks to you. So they're leaving Egypt and walking into this, and God tells them, now you've left Egypt. Now before you walk in, you have to grow. Before you walk in and move all those enemies that are in the promised land. Why are there enemies in the promised land? Because the devil knows what God has prepared and he wants to get you out. He wants to take you out before you can actually see what God has in store for you. So he places different people in there. He places things on your past, right? He's a great reminder of your past habits, past relationships, past mistakes. And he brings them to the forefront again. And he's like, how are you going to walk into this with all these problems in your life? Which is why God said, I will help you take out these people little by little. Growth is never like, it's never from one day to the other, right? But it's also never automatic. Growth is intentional. You can't just, you know, we grow old automatically, but we don't grow up automatically. Growing up and growing out of things requires intentionality. And so this is what God is telling them. Listen, I will help you drive them out. I will put my fear before you. Like I will go before you. We'll do this, but it will take some time. But God tells them that this is going to take a while, and when they grow up, God will do it before them. Verse 30, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you multiply and take possession of the land. So God will do it for you because he is going to take the glory, but he is waiting for you to grow so that you can possess what he has prepared. So sometimes, from the time you leave Egypt and you walk into your promised land, we call that growth time. It's time to grow. It's time to grow up, which is one of the values that we champion as a church, and specifically our online campus. That's our value that's at the forefront. Everything we do, from the devotionals you can get, from the website, from the articles that pastor writes, they're all meant for your growth in mind. And you can find them all at thelifeonline.cc. I just have to say that. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So God has prepared. Now, are you ready to possess? It's already been prepared. There is no waiting time in the preparing part on God's side. Well, the waiting time is on the growing up and possessing from my side. There are certain problems, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are certain problems that the best way to resolve them is to just grow up. Right? Some problems, yes, they require prayer and fasting, all, but some problems, they just require more maturity on your behalf. With my wife, we've had financial problems before, and we've noticed that, you know, we like speak against the spirit of lack. We speak against, you know, the devourer. But what we haven't spoken to is to each other to say, let's stop being dumb. Because we're so good, it's like, oh, the devil's attacking me. Why? I just saw a sale. No, like, leave Target. Leave Target and don't go back until you're a little bit more mature. It just so happens you walk in to buy a water in Target and then you come out with like $200 worth of stuff. And you're like, the devil is behind this. Some of these problems are quickly resolved by growing up. And you notice it. You notice it too, you know, in sports. You notice that the more they've grown into a sport, the more efficient they are. A rookie does not compare to someone that's been in the league for a couple of years. Now they have all the talent, they have all the potential, they have all the future. But what they need is more process. What they need is to be in it more and to grow into these things more. And that's kind of like the call that God has for each and every one of us. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. Like, you know, he who has started the great work will finish it in you. But it requires growth. Growth is required. And the reason is because we are not ready to fight the enemy that is in the promised land. And that's why we have to grow. Now, the Word of God says, and I'm going to try to fit it all in the small time that we have. God said that in the promised land, there are three like types of people. He said the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites. And they all represent certain things that we are used to battling in our life. And now let's start talking about the Hivites first. Now, the Hivites, they represent impulsivity. Impulsiveness and impatience. You know, impulsivity and impatience, why do we say this? Well, the story goes that when they move out of Egypt and into the promised land, one of the first groups that they meet are the Hivites. But they are dressed as other people because they don't want to be attacked by Israel. And God told them, no, you have to eradicate these three people. But they didn't know who they were. So they meet the Hivites without knowing that they're Hivites because they're dressed as foreigners. And so they actually make like a pact. They bond, they make a relationship that they shouldn't make. And why? This was born out of impulsivity. Instead of asking God, God, what should we do with these people? What they do is what a lot of us do, is we ask God for an open door. We ask God for a new season. And once we're about to walk in, we tell God, thank you, we'll take it from here. And you will not take it from here. You will probably take you out of here. Like that is the truth. Like what brought you to this point is going to keep you to this point. The same, you see it all the time. When people have problems, they fast, they pray, they do next, they do everything. Once the problem is solved, thank you, we'll see you in the next problem. And that's why there are next problems, is because what brought you up until this point is what's going to keep you at this point too. And so impulsivity will have you sow in seconds what you will reap in seasons. Impulsivity will give birth to Ishmaels when you were called to give birth to an Isaac. Impulsivity is when you make a rash decision that then you have to live with for the rest of your life. Impulsivity is the reason why there is war in the Middle East right now, thanks to Abraham's impulsivity. Because the story is, God told them, listen, you guys are going to have a kid, and they don't know how. And so Sarah, Abraham's wife, says, well, why don't you have, you know, a daughter with our maid? And Abraham is like, well, whatever you want to do, baby, you know, I'm obedient. And impulsivity. They're talking amongst each other when they should be talking to God. And because they don't, then they give birth to Ishmael. And then finally Isaac. Ishmaels usually look like impulsivity in the world. Decisions that are Ishmael's will not look like the will of God. What is required for an Isaac is patience. The Word of God says that with faith and patience, you know, we inherit the promises. Those that wait upon the Lord, not those that pray harder, not those that scream harder, not those that praise harder, those that wait. There is certain fruit that is required that is born out of time with God. There is seed time, and then there is harvest. And sometimes we just want to go automatically from one to the other. Hopefully who you are today does not compare to who you were a couple of years ago. You know, one of my cringiest moments every week is when Facebook reminds me of things I've posted in the past. I hate it. I hate it. I can't believe I was that dumb. Like, just things I would say, things I would post. I'm like, oh, this is the worst. But I like it because I need this to be true. If I look back at 2011 me and say, man, that guy was so good, so much better than today, I'm doing something wrong. Because growth should be continual. Spiritual growth should be continued. Who you are today should be bigger, better than who you were yesterday. There needs to be continual growth. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Folly is that word, foolishness. It's like if you're impulsive, you are a highlighter for foolishness. Foolishness, then you highlight all the time. I remember years ago, I was with my brother, Sammy, and we were in the car, and we were driving through Bogota in Colombia, and there's really not a lot of rules, and so motorcycles in and out, in and out. So I'm driving, and I go like this, and I almost hit a motorcycle. And then we go to the stop sign, and the motorcycle guy is right beside us, and he starts screaming at us. So I'm looking ahead. I'm like, I'm not going to fight. You know, I'm just looking ahead. But then I see Sammy, and Sammy's beside me, and he's going like this. And so I tell Sammy, like, if you keep doing that, like, we're going to have to fight. And you and me are not fighters. Like, everyone thinks they can fight until they're actually in a fight. And then you kind of know, yeah, we're not fighters. Like, oh, let me lay hands on you. Like, I can do that. And I told him, I play the saxophone. My hands are dainty. Like, they're meant for the Lord, not for someone's face. Like, and so... So we keep driving, and I see that the motorcycle is following me. And so in Bogota, you don't really want for people to know where you live. It could be dangerous. So, like, if this guy's going to follow me back home, I guess we're going to have to fight. So I told Sammy, we're going to have to fight. So I parked the car, and I'm going to get off. I'm going to see what's going to happen. And then Sammy grabs me. He's like, no, let's not fight. Let's just go. And so, like, okay, so I'm putting back my seatbelt, and then all of a sudden, the guy is right beside my door, and he starts hitting the door. It starts insulting us, hitting the door, insulting us. Like, well, you can't. And so when he's hitting the door, it makes Sammy mad. So then Sammy takes his seatbelt. I was like, oh, I'm going to get him now. So I grab him. I'm like, oh, Sammy. Like, we're not going to fight. And when I say this, the guy outside says, yeah, listen to your sister. So I'm like, no, you didn't. So like, I go to open the door, and Sammy hugs me. He's like, no, just drive. And so we just drive away. He was out of his motorcycle. He couldn't catch up. Perfect. That is my testimony. Amen. No, there's more. 2 weeks later, I have to go put these boxes. We have to send these boxes through FedEx, and there's a huge line, like 30 people. I'm so irritated. It was just a bad day I was having. It was terrible. I'm just feeling carnal. I'm holding my box right here when all of a sudden I look to my right, and guess who I see in the other line? Motorcycle guy. I'm like, my brother's not here. I don't have a testimony to keep. I can start a prison ministry. So I let my box go. I'm like, okay. So I go up to him. I'm like, hey, you remember me? And he looks at me. He's like, no, stop. I'm like, what, stop? And then from the bathroom behind him, a little girl walks up. He's like, no, I'm with my family right now. And it stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, impulsivity. Like, I was about to, like, go all in on something that God did not prepare. And why? Because of impulsivity. We have to grow up and grow out of being impulsive. It's those who wait on the Lord. Then there's the Canaanites. The Canaanites were people that would sacrifice babies to Molech. They had their priorities in a whack. Like, it was just incorrect priorities. They were sacrificing what you shouldn't be sacrificing. And in new seasons, you will find yourself debating on what you should sacrifice. And the problem is, Canaanites, like other people that you might know, are sacrificing what shouldn't be sacrificed. Like what? Relationship with God? Time with God? Time at church? And they do it in the name of progress. They do it in the name of more money. They do it in the name of, you know, the upward mobility and scaling the corporate ladder. And so some people, maybe they don't sacrifice church, but they'll sacrifice time with their family. And they say it's for their family. Now, I'm not saying don't be a hard worker. I'm not saying, you know, don't do what you have to do, but also be led by the Spirit. Don't act like the Canaanites. You're like, but this is what we have to do. Not for a Christian, no, because God is on your side. God can do for you what your resume could never do for you. God can open doors that no man can open. God can shut doors that no man can shut. Follow Him. So what do we sacrifice? We sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. Romans 12, verse 2. That we sacrifice our time in order to spend time with God. That we are that sacrifice. Get your priorities straight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Malachi 1 verse 6 all the way to verse 8 says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? He says, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? In other words, God is saying, I'm not happy with what is happening here, with what you are offering. You are offering, you know, what remains after you've used it all up. There's just like some people, like, they'll come to church only, only if there's nothing else happening. And it's got to be sunny, right? This is not an attack. All I'm saying is we got to get our priorities straight. Things need to reprioritize in our life. If you are not happy with what is happening, well, check your priorities. And then the third group of people are the Hittites. And the Hittites are, historically, they got it bad. They were always been attacked, always have been attacked. It's not just by the Israelites. Everyone attacks them to the point where they are extremely aggressive because of all the attacks that they have received. And a lot of Christians are the same way. You've been attacked in your past, and now you're moving into a new season, but you're still acting like you've been attacked. I remember Pastor Daniel Eric Groves, he stood up here and he said, if you don't heal what hurt you, you will bleed on people that never hurt you. And man, that is a truth that needs to be memorized in our life. You know, I understand you've been through things, but also understand that God can bring you out of those things to where you don't even smell like what you've been through, where you don't even look like what you've been through. You are a new person. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Now you say, but I still feel like the past. I still feel. I understand. Because the problem with a snake bite is not the bite. It's the venom inside. But then let God work with that. Let God deal with that. People will say, I forgive, but I don't forget. And that sounds very good, but that's not biblical. You forgive and you forget. It is possible with His help. So you work at it. I remember in the past 10 years, I've had like 7 different bosses from different things I've done. And so delivery routes to working at a warehouse, to working here, to working with my dad, all of it. I remember at one point, a couple years ago, I had a fight with my boss. It was a big fight. And I was so frustrated because it was the same fight that I had had with my other boss, my dad, a couple years before that. So I felt I was going in this cycle, and I was frustrated. I called my wife, and I'm just crying. I told her I had this same fight. Like it's like deja vu. I'm doing this all over again. It's like, I don't know why all the bosses hate me. All the bosses are a problem. Right? That's why I have to be my own boss, right? Like, and then I caught it. It's like, It's like the Lord was telling me, when are you going to get around to you? Right? Because you act this way, I've been attacked. You act this way, what about you though? What about you just healing and forgetting all that? I remember I was sitting there, and my wife just started praying for me. She literally said, what you need is prayer. I'm like, what I need is a new job, right? And she's like, no, what you need is prayer. And we did pray, and then we worked it out little by little. Like God said, little by little. To the point where, like, I expect to, and let Pastor know, I expect to work here for years. Ms. Maria, please. That was it. So you cannot enter a new season with the poison of past seasons. You have to let it go. And let this be a moment where the Holy Spirit works in your heart, reveals. He's a revealer. He might reveal. And maybe it's not the Hittites you have to work with. Maybe it's impulsivity, right? Or maybe it's the lack of priorities. But today, this morning, let the Holy Spirit work in you. Let him do a new work. Let him show you. It's like turning on a light and then like, or turning on the flashlight and pointing at it. And it's like this. We need to grow up with this. You cannot come back to this. You are called for more. There is more. So go towards it. Grow up. And then go forward in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand up real quick. We're going to pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to go into your word, Father. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who is our guide, we ask that he guide us into all the truth, that we might know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Father, I ask for freedom in this place, freedom from hurts from the past, freedom from attacks of the past, from past priorities, from past cycles, Father. We declare that we are new and walking into a new season, a new time, a new era, an era of blessing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.